Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. What was once Hurricane Helene is blamed for at least 30 deaths across the South. The worst storm to hit Florida's Gulf Coast in over two centuries also wiped out entire neighborhoods.
After the most punishing night any of us could ever have imagined, the morning is breaking bright and beautiful, which is a cruel irony for the scenes we're seeing around the island. Entire houses are missing.
Michael Presley Bobbitt on his bike taking a look at the damage in Cedar Key. New York City Mayor Eric Adams pleaded not guilty at his arraignment today. He's facing five federal counts, including bribery. Ukraine's President Zelensky met with former President Trump at Trump Tower today. Many Republicans are opposed to continued U.S. involvement in Ukraine more than 2 years into the Russian invasion. This is ABC News. Many at the UN General Assembly walked out when Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu delivered his address.
When Benjamin Netanyahu spoke these words,
"Enough is enough."
Several UN General Assembly members had left the chamber protesting Israel's nearly year-long bombardment of Gaza.
"We won't rest until our citizens can return safely to their homes."
The Prime Minister again calling for the release of hostages. After nearly a year of conflict with Hamas in Gaza, Israel is threatening a ground offensive in Lebanon now against the militant group Hezbollah to its north, saying Israelis deserve to live in peace. Sherry Preston, ABC News, New York.
85 years after it was installed, a memorial to the three Bronte sisters, the 19th century writers, has been fixed. The memorial for Charlotte, Emily, and Anne now have the two dots added to the E in their last name. The memorial was installed in London's Westminster Abbey in 1939, just after the outbreak of World War II. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The smarter way to clean your floors, it's time to make Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket, and the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop, Swiffer Power Mop.
I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin's state superintendent of public instruction is asking the state legislature to double its reimbursement of special education costs to local school districts. Jill Underly says the current reimbursement rate of 35.5% isn't enough.
And it means many districts continue to struggle to afford to provide services and retain staff. And as a state, we need to help districts afford the cost of special education services. These services are legally mandated. It's the right thing to do.
Underly made a request during her annual annual State of Education address at the Capitol in Madison Thursday. A new Wisconsin Policy Forum report says Wisconsin could save big by expanding Medicaid.
The report says Medicaid expansion would add between 72,000 and 90,900 residents to the program and save the state $1.7 billion over the next 2 years. However, healthcare providers and insurers would no longer benefit from Affordable Care Act tax credits, and some providers could see reimbursements reduced. Wisconsin is one of only 10 states that have not accepted federal funding to expand Medicaid. Governor Tony Evers has proposed expansion in each of his biennial budgets, but has met resistance from the Republican-controlled legislature. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Former President Donald Trump is expected to address immigration at a weekend campaign event in Prairie du Chien, where Dr. Scott Walker is the Democrat running for state assembly.
Republicans have made the case that immigration is the biggest problem facing Wisconsin. And I'm not sure that's true.
Republican incumbent Representative Travis Tranel says legal immigration needs reform.
Where we make people that are here and not willing to work or not in the workforce for one reason or another get into the workforce, somebody has to do these jobs.
Trump is scheduled to speak Saturday afternoon at the Prairie du Chien Area Arts Center. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
The warm weather continues in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Sunshine throughout the day today, highs low 80s. Light winds becoming north at around 5. Tonight, clear, lows mid-50s. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs mid-80s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas boys football tonight. The Panthers host Spectrum. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 6:45. Kickoff at 7 o'clock here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
And great to have you with us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America. We have a lot of different topics to talk about on the show, powered by Cenex. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for being here. Coming up here on the program, we're going to talk about the latest surrounding the use of over-the-top dicamba in soybeans and cotton. Will we see some new labels for 2025 or not? DTN Crop Senator Jason Jenkins is going to join us for that conversation coming up here in segment two today. After the bottom of the hours, a number of ethanol and renewable fuels related issues out there right now, including 45Z. Will we get that tax credit guidance ahead of the expected start date of January 1? We're going to talk about that and more with Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper in segment three. Then at the end of the show in segment four, we'll have a conversation with Ronnie Richardson from National Land Realty, looking at some of the latest surrounding farmland values and more across the country. We'll get to Ronnie's conversation coming up here in segment four of today's AOA, powered by Cenex. What to know before selecting a tractor hydraulic fluid? Well, bargain tractor hydraulic fluids. They're not worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance you can rely on. Visit your nearest location or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, let's start the show. Let's get a rundown of what's happening in the markets. We've been seeing a pretty decent week in the grains and oil seeds, and might even get some weekly higher closes in soybeans and corn here if things hold out through Friday's trade. Let's talk about it. Joining us now, Chris Robinson, Robinson Ag Marketing, with us here on AOA. Chris, good to talk with you again, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm good here. I'm glad to be here on this Friday, getting ready for the USDA on Monday.
Yeah, I feel like these markets look a little quiet on Friday's trade. Maybe some position squaring ahead of that quarterly grain stocks and small grain summary reports that'll be out Monday. We'll talk about that in a second. Just your perspective, though, this week here in the grain and oilseed trade, Chris, it feels like it's been a good rally that some farmers have been able to reward a little bit and get some catch-up sales done.
I would hope so. You know, a nice dollar rally off the lows in soybeans. The low was 9.55. We got actually north of 10.60. A big technical level there for guys that follow that type of stuff. 10.60 was a big level. So it's nice to see that. A dollar a bushel. You know, we grow 4 billion bushels of soybeans. So, you know, if anybody was chewing their nails off down at 9.55, and I think a lot of guys were, this is a kind of a relief rally. We haven't clawed back everything we lost. I think a lot of people were still kind of swooning from the, you know, we had the May highs. You know, got to remember, no beans were at 12.30. We went from 12.30 to 9.55. So to get back about, you know, 40% of that, that's a good recovery. Hopefully with this China blast, right? That's, I think that's the big news. China, you know, on Sunday night, we rallied. We went from 10.01 to 10.50 in, like, you know, in about 24 hours. That was because China announced that they were, you know, basically printing money, for lack of better words. But they are doing their version of quantitative easing. They're trying to pull their economy out of recession. They've been struggling in China. And then yesterday, they did it again, add more money. So it's kind of been a double-barrel shotgun. That has, I think, been the real driver. Also, too, you know, we were at four-year lows. You know, the cure for low prices is low prices. I think a lot of people stepped in there and were like, okay, we've gone low enough. Four-year lows in corn, wheat, and beans. Nice to see some people step in there and buying it. Hopefully this China money continues to fuel us. But I think that's a big, big thing. I can't stress that enough. China doing this, you know, I don't know it's gonna happen 6 days from now, but certainly it should be a factor for the next 3 to 6 months. And, you know, I don't think there's any way to look at it and not say that it's friendly for commodities.
Well, with that in mind, I want to bring up the quarterly grain stocks and small grain summaries you mentioned as well. That those will be out Monday morning. As I was looking at the Dow Jones pre-report survey of analysts, it looks like most analysts predicting for corn, for soybeans, and for wheat that we could see the highest ending stocks in 4 years if some of these estimates come true. Talk about your perspective of what we could get here on Monday.
Yeah, I would hope that, you know, if we get a surprise, let's hope it's a bullish surprise. There have been times when these numbers are off. We've known we've had this, the word that, you know, everybody likes to use is burdensome, right? Burdensome supplies, especially in soybeans and corn. With 2 billion bushel carry on corn, you know, that's one reason we went from $5 corn to sub $4. We're, you know, down at $3.85. We've had a little bit of a recovery. If you look at all these contracts, corn, wheat, and beans, if you look at the amount that we lost percentage-wise from the May highs, percentage-wise, wheat has clawed back 25% of what we lost, close to 30, I guess. Corn has been stuck here. We've clawed back about 25% of what we lost, and the soybeans have just clawed back 40%. So we've had a revenue recovery, and I think if I'm a producer, you're always long. And it's always about protecting revenue. You know, it'd be nicer if we get a bigger rally. So if we get something that is surprising, you know, it could help us pull out of this and continue to see a recovery. But I think a lot of this, you know, this is a futures market. A lot of this large carryout has been factored in. It's one of the reasons we had, you know, if you start at the beginning of the year, look how we traded. You know, we had one rally in May, and that was it. We never really got anything going because we didn't have a weather issue here. We didn't have a weather issue in South America. And so at the end of the day, supply and demand drives us. So hopefully the USDA will give us something friendly. Hopefully it will be a bullish surprise. In the meantime, I think you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. A dollar rally in soybeans, a 35-cent rally in corn, about a 55-60-cent rally in wheat. It's a something for producers to use. I know it's hard. Nobody wants to market. Everybody's harvesting. Nobody wants to do anything. But certainly I think a dollar rally in soybeans is worth taking a look at if you're long soybeans and have not hedged or sold anything.
Chris, we got about a minute. Any notes for you in either livestock or energies here today?
Well, I would say livestock. You know, we've had an outstanding recovery rally. You know, six-month highs in the hogs, a great recovery rally. If you're just getting hammered, you know, a month and a half ago, we were worried about cattle moving lower, sharply lower. Packers continue to buy. Cash continues to be strong, which is good, even though we've had some weakness in the cutouts. That's interesting. But a nice, you know, rally back, not only for fat cattle, but feeder cattle, a nice technical rally. We've recovered a big chunk of what we were just got hammered with. So it's an opportunity for producers. It's a good recovery. And as far as the crude oil goes, you know, we're about to flirt with another 16-month low. Crude oil keeps going lower. I think that's going to continue to pressure diesel. So there's kind of the silver lining. We may see if crude oil production keeps going up. And I guess the last thing, we'll finish with that. Saudi Arabia said that they were going to give up the $100 a barrel oil target and pump more oil. That puts pressure on crude oil. That's going to help our input costs.
Chris Robinson, Robinson Ag Marketing. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
All right. Coming up, we'll talk with DTN's Jason Jenkins on AOA, powered by Cenex, after this. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need.
Welcome back to AOA Agriculture of America. Today's program brought to you by our friends with Cenex. Make sure you select the correct fluids for your equipment. Bargain tractor hydraulic fluids, they're not worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance you can rely on. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more information. Well, we are getting an update right now on the over-the-top dicamba situation as we continue to look at some of the regulatory hurdles and realities in front of us as we start thinking about crop decisions and products and more for 2025. Joining us now for an update, DTN Crops Editor Jason Jenkins is with us here on the show. Jason, welcome back to AOA. It's good to talk with you again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jesse.
Let's dive into the situation, and I know that it's one that we've been following closely here throughout the really the entire year and even before that as we look at over-the-top dicamba use, thinking about some particular products like Extendamax, Ingenia, Tavium, et cetera, et cetera. Get us up to speed. What's kind of the latest surrounding this situation as we're, again, kind of thinking about making decisions for 2025?
Yeah, Jesse. Well, here we are, you know, last week of September, officially into fall. A lot of folks are already in the field harvesting their 2024 crops, and, you know, they've got eyes on 2025, you know, as they see those yield numbers come in as what they planted this season. Is that what they're going to go with next season? A lot of questions, you know, as they make those choices for 2025. And, of course, one of those moving forward is the availability of over-the-top dicamba. Those products, of course, back in February, a federal court vacated the previous registrations of those products, the 2020 registrations. And so that left those products kind of in limbo moving forward. Now, EPA did issue an existing stocks order following that decision that did allow for the use of those products that were in producers' hands here in 2024. But, you know, that really still left a question mark moving forward. How are those products going to get registered for 2025? And, of course, each of those products that you mentioned, Extendamax, Ingenia, and Tavium, each with a different registrar and a different company that produces those. And those three companies did, you know, through the months moving from spring into summer, did apply again for registration and a new label for those products from EPA. And that, you know, started that process over again. And, of course, the question is, you know, how quickly can that process get taken care of? And as I've done my reporting for DTN and the Progressive Farmer magazine, you know, I visit with the registrants and visit with agency officials. And as we move forward, while, you know, there's always a possibility that, you know, there could be some way that these products do make it into the market in 2025. If I were a betting man, I don't think that would be where I'd be putting my money at this point. The processes that are required through the regulatory process, the timeline is just going to push that too far, I think, into 2025. And I think that's where a lot of the registrants and reluctantly growers are probably going to find themselves as they do make those plans for next season.
Well, and Jason, as I was reading through some of your most recent reporting, I know you've been talking with folks at some of those companies, Syngenta, Bayer, BASF, along with folks throughout the ag industry, such as American Soybean Association President Josh Gackle, friend of the show in North Dakota, and a lot of folks concerned about this and not being able to have over-the-top dicamba products for soybeans and cotton for 2025. And you mentioned some of the timelines there. And as I was kind of looking through some of your reporting and reading into this more, you know, when they applied, it sounded like that kind of starts a 17-month timeline. Well, of course, that's more than a year. So that, to your point, kind of pushes us well into 2025 before we would have a typical answer from the EPA, if I'm understanding that right.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Jesse. Under the Pesticide Registration Improvement Act, PREIA, as it's known for short, there is a timeline of about 17 months that is laid out as a statutory review time that EPA is following. And so whether or not you can find a way around that is a question that's still out there. But as my conversations with those officials at EPA indicated in my reporting, that timeline not only is 17 months, but they admittedly kind of are slow and behind on that process in a lot of cases due to lack of funding and resources to get all the processes taken care of that make those registrations happen. So 17 months may be the minimum time, not necessarily the exact time for those kind of processes to go through. So if you look back at it, I believe that some of the first registrants that went back to EPA with application, I believe Bayer was the first with their Extend-A-Max product in early May. So yeah, if you look 17 months from May, that's well into 2025.
Well, and I think about this, if we don't have some of these over-the-top dicamba products in cotton and soybeans as we begin the 2025 growing season, I'm sure, Jason, that's, of course, going to send a lot of producers searching for what's my next best option for certain weed control products, et cetera, et cetera. So it kind of sends folks scrambling a little bit here to try and figure out what they are going to do for next year, right?
Yeah, Jesse, the you know, the opportunities that are out there with the different traded soybeans, especially, you know, there are some choices. Now, the last time that, of course, we had a situation where we had traded soybeans that are dicamba tolerant on the market without having a labeled over-the-top dicamba to apply to them, was back in 2016. So it's been several years since that situation happened. And, of course, things have changed in the meantime, right? The Enlist system is now out on the market that wasn't there before. And so growers do have some other options. And, of course, because dicamba is not available perhaps for over-the-top application, doesn't mean that other products that are over-the-top, such as glyphosate, glufosinate, those in the ExtendFlex system are still available. Now, of course, it's growers that have those troublesome herbicide-resistant weeds, you know, who are definitely scrambling and looking for options. It's in the absence of that dicamba. And, of course, as I've visited with registrants, you know, each kind of indicated that they're confident that, you know, working through their dealer networks and seedsmen and whatnot, that they can come up with solutions for growers that can allow them to get those weed-free fields to begin their seasons with, and try to get them to canopy without dicamba as an option moving forward.
Well, of course, it's a situation that no doubt we're not going to have some clarity on, it seems like, for a little while, and it won't be the last time we have a discussion about the latest news surrounding over-the-top dicamba use, and the likelihood of that happening in 2025, at least right now, seems a little slim. I know folks can find more details and read some of your latest stories, dtnpf.com for more. With that, DTN Crops Editor Jason Jenkins, appreciate the time and insight here with us today on AOA. It's good to talk with you again, and we will have you back on the show again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Glad to be here.
Once again, good stuff. Good conversation there. DTN Crops Editor Jason Jenkins joining us, and you can find his recent stories and coverage at dtnpf.com. One other note I want to talk about here, and we may get to this as well with Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association coming up here at segment three. The potential disruptions to the nation's shipping infrastructure could have devastating effects on American agriculture during this year's harvest season unless the U.S. government steps in to intervene. That feels like that's the point that we're at here in this whole situation, particularly East Coast to Gulf Coast ports beginning on October 1st. We could have a strike there as we have the negotiations between the International Longshoremen's Association Union and the United States Maritime Alliance employer group appearing to be deadlocked on pay as the current contract expires on September 30th. And there's been multiple reports, including Republican Senator Ted Cruz citing a J.P. Morgan analysis that predicted a strike at that large number of ports could cost the economy $5 billion daily. And the Biden administration says it doesn't intend to invoke the Taft-Hartley Act to prevent a strike, which could be a potential mistake here, considering all the challenges that we have with the looming port labor strike. We have some rail issues in Mexico and historically low water levels on the Mississippi River as well, all kind of piling together. So a lot of things to watch out for, and that port strike is top of mind here as that impacts us as we get into this upcoming week. Today's AOA brought to you by our friends at Cenex, their premium diesel and premium lubricants. Make sure you mitigate risk on the farm with premium diesel from Cenex. Visit your nearest store or go to Cenex.com for more. We'll have a conversation with Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. He'll join us next on AOA.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to AOA.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. October milk down 23 to 23.09. November down 30 to 22.43. December down 26 to 21.23. January down 18 at 20.50. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets closed mostly mixed, lower in the nearby months on some late session profit taking, but feeder cattle were higher again. Some of the higher cash markets did support the feeder cattle markets throughout the week. Hog markets were mostly lower in the nearbys, higher in deferreds. Again, some continued demand concerns helping to pressure many hog contracts. October live cattle down 35 cents to 183.75. October feeder cattle up 15 cents to 247.07. December hogs down 55 cents to 73.37. Chicago Board of Trade corn and soybeans moved mostly higher on the day as South America does look for some rain for their kickoff of their planting season for soybeans. But for the U.S., the remnants of Hurricane Helene helping to really bring the harvest to a stop for soybeans and even corn in the eastern Corn Belt, and that provided support for both of those markets, along with some short covering. Wheat markets, though, they were mostly lower due to continued planting of winter wheat. That continues to move forward. December corn up 4 3/4 to 4.18. November beans up 24 3/4.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Farmers and ranchers need AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues, brought to you by Cenex. Don't let unpredictable markets get in your way. Cenex stores premium diesel fuels help improve efficiency for your operation. For prevent issues on the farm, it's critical. Maximize your ROI and invest in quality products and keep your equipment running with Cenex Premium Diesel. Visit your nearest location or go to cenex.com for more. We have a wide range of ethanol and renewable fuels related issues to catch up on. Joining us now to do that, it's good to talk with Jeff Cooper, President and CEO for the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, welcome back to AOA. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jesse. Happy Friday. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. As I mentioned, I got a long laundry list of things that you and I need to catch up on and talk about. And I'll start with 45Z. That's something that I know a lot of folks have been looking at. We've seen some legislation, the Farmer First Act on Capitol Hill this week, kind of surrounding that as well. I know we're looking for this tax credit guidance ahead of January 1. What's the latest surrounding 45Z right now, Jeff?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Jesse, we're about 90 days or 100 days away from that tax credit becoming effective. The law says on January 1 of 2025, that tax credit should be available, but we don't have any rules. We don't even have a proposed rule from the Treasury on how that tax credit is actually going to work in practice. And this is a very complex, very detailed program. And the industry is flying blind right now. We really don't have the details that we need to understand how this tax credit is going to apply beginning on January 1st of next year. So we continue to push the Treasury and push the administration to at least get the proposed rule out as soon as possible so we can begin to understand how they are approaching this tax credit and what we should expect here in a few months when producers start looking at eligibility, whether they're eligible or not, to claim that credit next year. So there's a lot of work to do on that credit program, not a lot of time to do it. And of course, we've got an election in the middle of all this, which we think is probably going to have some impact on timing and not in a helpful way.
No, not at all. I mentioned this, the Farmer First Fuel Incentives Act, some bipartisan legislation in the House and Senate, and that is looking at extending this tax credit, the 45Z, to make it a full 10-year credit, plus some language in there about domestically sourced feedstocks. And I think that ties in well with some of the issues of concern that are out there regarding used cooking oil imports from China and tallow and so many other things that are coming in from foreign countries. Seems like, you know, this legislation may be a little common sense to help the American producer, Jeff.
Yeah, it really is. And it does two things. It addresses two key problems that we're seeing with the 45Z credit. I think as many people probably know, the 45Z credit that was part of the original bill is only a 3-year program. And again, we don't even have rules on how it's going to work yet. The clock starts on January 1st. So, if the administration is asking the industry to go out and make big investments to lower carbon intensity and produce cleaner fuels, it takes time to get that equipment and get these projects off the ground and get them up and running. 3 years is a pretty short window to actually get a return on those investments. And that tax credit is crucial to securing that return. So the first thing this bill does is it extends that tax credit program by 7 years and makes it a full 10-year program. That's the sort of time frame that's going to be needed to provide the certainty and the assurance that producers are going to get a return on their investments in these technologies to lower carbon intensity. So that's one great aspect of the bill. The other piece, as you mentioned, is these leaders in Congress are saying, look, a U.S. taxpayer-funded program should only be applicable to products that are produced in the U.S. with U.S. feedstocks. And right now you've got a situation where we've got a tidal wave of used cooking oil coming in from China. We've got a tidal wave of tallow coming in from Brazil, and those feedstocks are being used to produce biodiesel and renewable diesel, and those fuels would qualify for that tax credit unless something is done to change that. So right now, about 1 out of every 6 gallons of biomass-based diesel being produced today is coming from Chinese used cooking oil and Brazilian tallow. And we just don't think it's right that the U.S. taxpayer would be incentivizing those products at the expense of domestic feedstocks like soybean oil and the distiller's corn oil that comes from all the ethanol plants in the country. So these bills would really tighten up some of those loopholes and make sure that this program is doing what we think Congress intended it to do originally.
We're talking with Jeff Cooper, head of the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, let's talk EPA's tailpipe emissions rule. That's another big issue that I know a lot of folks in the industry, and RFA included in that, is watching this this whole situation that truly feels like it's a way to mandate the sale of electric vehicles here by 2032 is what it really feels like with some of these emissions rules. What's the latest surrounding that situation, Jeff?
Yeah, it is an issue that we are very focused on. EPA earlier this year finalized their regulations for what they call tailpipe emission standards out through 2032. And the emissions reductions that automakers have to meet to comply with those regulations are so stringent that the only way they can meet them, especially in those out years, is by building more and more and more electric vehicles. And in fact, EPA says by 2032, they expect that 69%, two-thirds of new vehicles will need to be electric vehicles in order for automakers to comply with those regulatory requirements. So it is, in effect, a mandate for automakers to build more electric vehicles, and that means fewer and fewer internal combustion engine vehicles that run on liquid fuels. So we do see that as a significant threat to demand for ethanol and other liquid fuels long term. And so we have sued EPA along with a number of other petitioners. I think there's 54 other parties that joined us in suing EPA over these regulations. We think EPA vastly exceeded its authority. Congress never gave EPA the authority or the direction to mandate electric vehicle production. So we filed our opening brief in that lawsuit a few weeks ago in the D.C. Circuit Court. There's going to be a lot more filings and briefings between now and the end of the year, and we think that case should be argued in front of the judges sometime in the early part of the spring next year, and hopefully we'll have some resolution, have some decision from the court by early part of summer next year.
Well, Jeff, I know you had a great quote on this issue in a press call here about a week or so ago that I think really hammers this home. It's, you know, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck. I mean, when you look this, Jeff, I think your quote was great there. Feels like it's a mandate.
It is, and EPA has been saying, no, it's not a mandate. It, you know, automakers can do whatever they want to comply with these standards. But again, if you have taken every option away from them except for one, which is build more electric vehicles, you can call it whatever you want, but it is a mandate, at least in terms of how it operates in the marketplace. And our biggest frustration with all this is if the goal of the program is to truly reduce emissions from transportation fuels, why in the world are we not embracing ethanol and other biofuels as part of that regulation and part of that strategy to reduce emissions from transportation? They look at electric vehicles as being zero emissions. So when those automakers go to calculate their tailpipe emissions averages, they get to put a bunch of zeros in for every electric vehicle they're building. And we know that's nonsense because there are emissions, significant emissions, associated with the generation of the electricity that is powering those vehicles. And there's emissions associated with the extraction of the minerals that go into the battery and the construction of the vehicle. And all of those are being ignored in this regulation by EPA. So we're just saying, let's have a level playing field. Let's do this fairly. And we think if that were the case, ethanol would fare very well and be a favorable option for automakers to pursue, you know, and then start building more flex fuel vehicles again, for instance, as a way to for meeting these obligations long term.
Jeff, we got about 90 seconds, and I know we got other issues with year-round E15 and renewable volume obligations. And throw on top of all of this the potential of a port strike on the East Coast and Gulf Coast next week. I mean, there's a lot of other issues going on right now that we're watching closely, aren't we?
Yeah, there are too many to talk about in 90 seconds, but I will highlight two. Just this morning, about 45 minutes ago, some of our friends in the House introduced another bill to remove that summertime barrier on E15 once and for all on a nationwide basis. They're going to give it one more chance. You know, hopefully we'll be all set up for some action in lame duck. This bill has already been introduced in the Senate, so it's just a House companion. And hopefully our champions will be all set up to make a run at this during lame duck. The other thing, you know, you mentioned the port situation. We are very concerned about the potential for a strike. You know, we're asking the Biden administration to step in and intervene there and resolve this issue, just like they did 2 years ago with the rail strike situation. About 60% of our ethanol exports go out of the ports that are threatening to strike. So 3 out of 5 gallons that are exported go out of those ports. That activity is going to slow or stop if we don't have workers, you know, doing what they need to do to get those products and get those boats out on the water.
Too many issues for us to talk about, Jeff. We'll get you back on the show again real soon and catch up on more topics. Thanks for being with us here today on AOA. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Jesse. Have a good one.
Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association. Learn more at ethanolrfa.org. We'll be back with Ronnie Richardson from National Land Realty next on AOA, powered by Cenex.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Lowe's knows it's easier to make the right calls when you have the right team. That's why our Lowe's Red Vest associates can help with game time decisions. Plus, use in-store mode on the Lowe's app to find what you need. Under pressure at home and want it soon? Order online by 2 p.m. to get it same day. Same day valid on eligible in-stock items and select zip codes only. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. Exclusions and more terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine.
Not fun.
Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all of that. We find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F-word. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Your soybean product marketing manager as we learn more about the new Z-Series soybeans. Shelby, what can farmers expect from Z-Series in terms of yield performance?
Extensive impact trials across the U.S. show that Z-Series soybeans delivered a 2.7 bushel to the acre yield advantage over our current Pioneer A-Series soybean lineup, delivering a potential $35 an acre return on investment. This new class of Z-Series soybeans also aims to provide yield stability and stronger agronomics to help farmers reach those high yields year after year, despite any challenging weather environments and disease pressure.
Well, thinking about disease pressure, what can you say about disease tolerance in general for the new Z-Series soybean, Shelby?
The Z-Series soybeans will offer increased protection across key diseases such as sudden death syndrome, brown stem rot, white mold, and iron deficiency chlorosis. When it comes to white mold and IDC, expect improved resistance in varieties for areas where there wasn't much of an emphasis on these diseases in the past.
Shelby, what about SCN?
The lineup will include many varieties with either PI88788 or Peking resistance. Pioneer has more varieties with Peking resistance than any other company, and that trend will continue with Z-Series varieties. The new Z-Series soybeans will have improved soybean cyst nematode and phytophthora resistance, with 13 Z-Series varieties offering stacked resistance for these two.
Shelby, what Z-Series options will be available for the 2025 growing season?
We expect to launch Z-Series with 50 varieties, and we have plans to introduce more soon. We have strong demand and availability going into the 2025 growing season.
Awesome. That's Shelby Shea with Pioneer. Learn more about Z-Series soybeans by talking to your local Pioneer seed representative or visit pioneer.com.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA today brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location. They'll have the right products to keep your operation on the go and on the move. Find more as well online at Cenex.com. Well, let's take a look at how things are shaping up in the real estate market, the land market, et cetera, as it pertains to agriculture and much more. I know there's plenty of concern about the farm economy right now and things like that. So joining us to have a conversation about it and give us some thoughts, he is the CEO of National Land Realty. Ronnie Richardson is with us here on AOA. Ronnie, hope you're doing well, sir. It's been a few months since we talked. Great to have you back on the program.
Hey, thank you for having me back, Jesse. Golly, it has been a few months, and it seems like a lot of things have changed, and they're ever-changing in the ag, in the real estate ag world.
Absolutely. To your point, things are always changing. I know that National Land Realty, you guys have found some stable prices through the first little bit of this fiscal here, kind of the last couple of months in some areas, but I guess, let's frame this up to start, I suppose. With all the concern in the ag economy, what are some of the biggest things you are hearing right now across the country in terms of farm and ranch land?
It's interesting that you say that, because just this very morning, I was looking on Facebook and I looked at the Iowa farmland prices. And for 2024, and it was by section in the state of Iowa, by county in Iowa. And overall in Iowa, farmland prices are down 5%. Conversely, farmland prices across the entire country are up 5% for 2024. So I was getting kicked down a little bit, and that's the first data that I've seen out of the state of Iowa for this year. But we track a lot of data, and some of the things that really jumped out at us in 2024 were some of the spot markets. For example, in California is one. Everybody wants to know what's going on in the California farmland market. Well, those prices are down 27% in 2024. We believe it's a combination of interest rates and low commodity prices for almonds and walnuts, et cetera. But, the fact that you hear on the news that everybody's running from California, that's not affecting the farmland prices out there to have that kind of that significant of a decline. But we think it has more to do with the interest rates and taxes than it does actually people leaving in California. On the other hand, you look at the other side of the country, you look at Florida. Well, those prices are up 118% in 2024, and those are farmland prices. Now, what's happening to farmland in Florida is it's being transitioned into development land, which makes plenty of sense from a supply and demand standpoint as to why the prices are going up so high in Florida, why they've had such an increase in Florida. But in the Midland, in the middle America, those prices are kind of stable. Now, we anticipated that because of the hyperinflation that came along in 2021, 2022. You know, we knew at some point it was going to plateau. And if you look at the prices across the Midwest right now, they're just about stable. We're comfortable with them.
Very interesting. And, you know, I think about the I states, of course, you know, middle America, those are kind of the leaders and the king in farmland values and more. And that's kind of the pinnacle, the gold standard, so to speak. But, you know, you mentioned California, you mentioned Florida. I saw in your guys' latest report as well, I thought this was interesting. Looking at the Delta, Louisiana, some big changes there, I think, down substantially. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, what we found in our research was there were some very large landholders that were divesting themselves of farmland. And, you know, and it has driven the price, the overall price down, but it gives some investors, some smaller investors, it gives them the opportunity to take advantage of some economies of scale to buy some of these bigger farms and to break them up into smaller farms. But I'm not going to say Louisiana was an anomaly. But when you get two or three major landholders that divest their farmland, it will drive the price down.
Interesting to think about this and the different parts of the country and how things can change. How much has, you know, one has to wonder, okay, we got a Fed rate cut here for the month of September. So the talk about inflation maybe slowing. How is some of those broader economic things, in your experience, how could that play into the land market, specifically when it comes to the farm and ranch moving forward?
You know, common sense tells you that if we took that half point this week, and you would think that that would jolt a lot of people that have been sitting on the sideline to go out here and start buying up farms. Couple different things. They're talking about an additional rate cut, maybe even up to an additional half a point, or maybe even 75 bips by January. So we are not anticipating that our phone's going to start ringing off the wall next week with people wanting to buy farms. That's not going to happen. And, you know, the fact that the commodity prices are still down, it makes it very difficult to go out here and buy a farm. And I'll give you a perfect example of that. I was in Wellington, Kansas last week, and I was visiting with a farmer, and he was dry ground farmer, non-irrigated. He's sitting there and he's getting 80 bushel corn, and he's booked it at $4.10 a bushel. Well, you know, that's not hard math. Let's just call it $4. That's $320 an acre gross on the corn crop. Well, you cannot survive that. You cannot make money at that. And that is not going to make the ag land prices go up when you're seeing corn at $4. In Mississippi, corn on the river where the silos are is the most expensive corn you can book, and it's $4.10, $4.15, $4.20. The further you get away from that river, the price goes further down. So those guys are struggling. And when they're struggling, it does not make farmland prices go up.
With that, we appreciate the time. The CEO of National Land Realty, Ronnie Richardson. Ronnie, thanks for being with us on AOA today. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, my friend.
And with that, we are out of time here on AOA today, brought to you by Cenex. High quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel can help you manage risk and decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to cenex.com for more information. On our next program, we'll talk with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. We'll get a look at the weather. Also, markets with Dara Newsom for Bar Chart. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in proven solutions. Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Another teenager fell victim to fake pills. Smells like big crime that needs to be stopped. Where are these pills coming from?
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second-grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super-rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP.